Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you lead it on when I'm falling down? Now the tears are falling from your face. I never learned from all of my mistakes. How we gonna carry on? Can anybody be this strong when we're falling down right now?
Silent prayer, God bless America.
And welcome to another edition of Continue Mission. I'm your host, James McCormick. And tonight's show, we're going to talk about the current events. There's a lot of violence going on. There's been some really violent attacks on pro-life clinics, even orphanages and churches, folks. And these groups that are doing this are tied to the pro-choice and Antifa movement that appears to have combined forces with the United Socialist and Communist Organization of America. I didn't even know that those kinds of things existed, but I guess they do. There is a U.S. Socialist organization and a communist organization. Isn't that unbelievable? You know what I mean? God almighty, we fought against communism for how long? And here they are. They're running through the streets of America and helping these groups to burn shit down. You know, it's just unbelievable. We're also going to talk about racism. You know, racism is a bad thing, but some people think that, you know, those people in the Asian communities and the white communities cannot be discriminated against. So we're going to talk about, you know, why racism is bad all the way around. Look, let me tell you what it is. If you do something, you know, you can not like people. You have your own opinions. But if you don't hire somebody, you don't, you know, or you decide you're going to gang up and beat a guy up because he's on the wrong end of town, you know, you're into town, you know, that's discriminatory. That's racism. You know, you wouldn't, I mean, that's like lynching, the old lynching days, you know, of the old South. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on right now. And we got to stop it. Just stop it. That's all you got to do is just stop. I don't know how else to tell you all this, but racism exists. And if you don't like, and if you are, it's not that you don't like somebody. If you do something to actively hurt somebody specifically based on their race, religion, sexual orientation, whatever. So that means if you don't like the fact that I am married to a woman and we have what they call a traditional American family and you decide to discriminate against me, well, that's just as bad as discriminating against the two men that are married up the street. It's discriminatory all the way around. And so, you know, we're going to jerk the Band-Aid off this thing tonight. Rich and I are going to be on here tonight. You know how Rich is. He's on here right now. But Rich and I are going to talk about this, and we're going to try to keep it civil. But, you know, this is very, very a very bad time in America, isn't it, Rich? What's going on, buddy?
Well, actually, you know, yesterday, today, if you're a conservative, especially a Second Amendment advocate, it was a good day. Okay,
right.
But it's a bad day for the left. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to see what the fallout is. I haven't seen the attack, but I haven't been watching the news as closely today. When I switch on, you know, I switch on CNN and they're just whining about it. I switch on Fox. I figure if there's any rioting and violence, Fox would be showing. They haven't shown. I haven't seen anything. I'm not watching it glued to the TV. Big thing I've been is the stock market crash. I'm just wanting to find out how low it is, and it seems to be flattening out. But everybody's talking about recession. Okay, I mean, a year ago there was a few people talking about predicting a recession. Now it's like everybody's saying it's going to happen. So anyway, that's all I'm getting out of the news. So you know, it may be bad, but I haven't seen it. Oh, here's a chance for me to actually admit you were right and I was wrong, James. Okay, well, we were talking about the police response in Uvalde, and I was trying to defend them, and you were talking about them being cowards and stuff like that, and I was saying, well, two cops got shot. Well, now the information's coming out. They were really cowards. Okay.
Yeah.
They were cowards, and they were definitely following orders that just didn't come. Nope. Their response was really bad, you know. So I did my best to defend them, but I was wrong.
Okay. Well,
let's see if I'm right or wrong tonight.
Huh? Well, the mayor in that town tries to defend that nonsense too, and you know the people in that community need to vote all of them out. They're just ridiculous. You know, I mean, you can't have a coward be a leader. I mean, that's just the way it is. You just can't have that, man. I mean, it's just
After Columbine, everybody knew, all law enforcement knew, you can't wait. But the thing is, what I did, I believe I'm accurate in saying this. The difference, the mentality difference between a police officer and a soldier is different. A police officer wants to go home at the end of the day. A soldier, he accepts he's going for him to do his job. He accepts he's already dead. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know that personally. Yeah. You're up there on top of that. If you were thinking about going home at the end of the day, you would not have been standing up on top of a Humvee without any armor firing a 50 caliber. Okay. With bullets whizzing by your ears. Okay. So it's the soldier, you know, so that's one thing we're all in agreement in is, hey, you want to practice schools, don't hire cops, hire veterans, combat veterans who have pulled the trigger, who have been under fire.
That's right.
Now, the problem is you're not going to be able to bring the active shooter to trial because he'll be dead, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a shame, you know, because the reality is that a lot of really, you know, a lot of kids died because of that. And
it's just
a shame. And there was some people there that finally got there. But what was really bad is if you're going to be a damn coward, lay your ass down and get out of the way so that the people that because
yeah.
there were.
Hey, hand your gun to hand your gun to
yeah,
the parents.
Absolutely.
Hey,
damn right.
Gun to all those mothers whose mama bear was kicking in, okay? Here,
yeah,
you don't want to go in there? Here, give the damn gun to this woman. She'll go in there and she'll shoot that guy. The door was unlocked. My God, the door was unlocked. They're all waiting for a key. The door, they didn't even try the door. It was unlocked.
Well, they were scared.
God, there was
yeah,
so
they were just,
yeah, yeah.
They
you
were
right.
Scared.
I was wrong. I tried to. You know, and see, that's the problem with, you know, you don't have all the facts and you're trying to pass judgment. The media does that. We did it. Okay. You know, now I bet you were really, you're just being critical as you always were. You could have just as easily been wrong as I was, but this time you were right.
No. I mean, there was just something ugly about that whole thing. Well, what I didn't like about it is that they treated the parents that were getting
right.
their kids were getting murdered
right.
worse.
They arrested them. They put them in handcuffs.
And you know what? Every one of their asses should be they should be fired and then immediately arrested when they walk out because they have violated the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, those guys are guilty of the death of a bunch of those kids. They are at fault because they didn't step in and
do that's true. Well, every child that was killed after they arrived, they would be responsible for.
They're responsible. Well, hell, that'd be about 17 of them.
That's
probably
all of them. Yeah, that's the majority of them. Yeah. Okay, but boy, being his, if you're there, you got a gun, and he's still killing people, everybody he's shooting while you're there is on you. So,
that's on
you're
you.
Right.
You know what? And I don't feel bad for any of them. I don't feel bad for a damn coward. They say a coward dies a thousand deaths. That's
no, you're true. You're true. Well, they're going to live with that. They're going to have to live with that. That's just sad.
Yeah,
okay, anyway, I just wanted to give you credit because I usually don't. Because most of the time you're wrong anyway.
Shit.
So I just the one time you're right, I just want to give you credit for it.
I'm gonna. All right, hold on a second. But you know what though, that's just awful. I think about them kids all the time. I think. Let me tell you something. And I'm just gonna just be very upfront and honest with this. If somebody would be responsible for the death of my children like that, there would be no safe place for them to hide.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because you know what, I'm not afraid to go to jail or die. Either one. And, you know,
and that's
whole
Texas. I figure, you know, I think Texas, everybody carries a gun. I'm sure those police officers probably are feeling the pressure.
Yeah, I guarantee you they're going to feel the pressure, and they're going to feel an asshole too going downtown.
Yeah, all right.
And they deserve it. Anyway, and they deserve it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
let's go back to your topic.
I mean, it just, listen, I read up on that, and I watched that. What really made me sick was the mayor, you know, coming out there, wow, you know, we're not talking about these other people there. And, you know, well, who was the first one on the scene? First guy on the scene should have been busting his ass to get in there. And if you don't have any backup,
and that was the lesson from Columbine. That was the lesson. If you're first, if it's an active shooter in a school, you
gotta
run
in.
You got to go in.
Never take the job.
The thing is, take the job.
You know, if you can't do it.
If you're shooting at him and he's shooting at you, he's not shooting at kids. That's the whole idea. That was the lesson of Columbine. Everybody knew it. I'm 54 years old, man.
Shit, I'd take a bullet, another one for a kid. Absolutely. You know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you're a veteran.
You're a combat veteran. It's a different mentality.
God.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on, because I get fired up thinking about that.
Right.
And the world's been sad enough as it is. So let me pull up a couple of these stories, these attacks on pro-life clinics. And there's been quite a few. And, you know, churches, golly, Ned, been bad. Attacks on, pro-life clinics. Just Google it. I'm Googling it right now because I had it up and I lost the damn thing here. Let's see.
Wait, what's a pro-life clinic? I'm familiar with abortion clinics, you know, but what's a pro-life clinic?
They have pro-life centers that basically they are, they're pregnancy centers. So let's just say, you know, here's the part that I hate about the left right now. They don't want to hear, they don't want to work with, I mean, there are some people that really don't want to get an abortion, you know, and they should have a choice. If you're really about choice, then they should have a choice to go and work with this clinic who will help them have the baby, give them the counseling they need, and then help them to get the baby adopted. I mean,
wait, now the thing is, if they're calling it a pro, they're inviting trouble. If you're talking about, you know, a pregnancy center, that's, you know, the naming is the issue.
These are 30 pro-life facilities have been targeted since the leak of the Supreme Court ruling. So I'd say they're going, and even Obama went on and said, y'all need to get in the streets and join these groups. I mean, you know, he's encouraging that kind of criminal-ass behavior. And you know what? And a bunch of them will get out there and do it. And then, you know, we'll be in court again where somebody's going to shoot two or three of them. And it's going to be bad.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be everybody just needs to sit back and relax. Because let's talk about what the Supreme Court did today.
Wait. No, we can't. You can't. Because I'm telling you. All right. This is the last 2 days are a good day for conservatives. Pro-life, pro-gun. But if you're on the left, the world is coming to an end.
There are
women who will die if they don't have abortions, okay? Their health is in danger. You're now, the Supreme Court, okay, I'm exaggerating this, but this is what I'm hearing. The Supreme Court has now just turned New Yorkers loose. Every bum can now carry a gun. And it's going to be the Wild West in New York City. My response is, well, right now the only people who can carry guns in New York City are criminals. Okay?
Yeah.
So, no, my problem is, I think everybody who's going to carry needs to know the law and being trained on it, okay? Yeah, and, we have examples of where idiots have pulled a gun that they didn't need to pull, and he used it. And they are punished accordingly. But if New York City turns into the Wild West, I'm all for it coming from the Wild West, or the shadow of the old West, I'm all for it. I like seeing people draw guns on each other and shoot each other because it's
a fair fight.
What I don't want to see is some gangbanger pull a gun on somebody who doesn't have a gun. Yeah, a gangbanger wants to pull a gun on me and I got a gun. Go for it. Okay, but the problem is I shoot his ass, I'm going to jail. They'll never catch him if he shoots me. Okay, law favors me. Guilty. The criminals.
Well, that's unfortunate. Yeah, and I watched that. I watched the governor of New York. I mean, she lost it real big time on that. And,
The world's got to change. The world is coming to an end. If you're on the left, the world is coming to an end.
I don't know why they
go
got
to the
street. White House. They got
go to the street.
Congress. That's what I don't understand. Well, it's the Supreme Court has made two decisions now that we de-nutted them. You know what I mean? And that's just, or defanged them is what I should have said.
Whatever, yeah.
I didn't mean to say that.
Look, I didn't know it slipped out, but, I made a comment about giving somebody a blowjob on Gay Pride Month or whatever. I mean, so you're not even as bad as I am, okay? How do I celebrate Gay Pride Month? I don't know, okay? It's a lifestyle change. Do I change my lifestyle?
I've never cared.
All the other months are something history month, but not. But no, June is Gay Pride Month. I'm like, not Pride, Gay and Lesbian History Month. It's Pride Month. How the hell do you celebrate that? All right. dress up weird and have a parade? Yeah, okay. the Irish in New York have St. Patty's Day parade. I'm all for it. The thing is, like, hey, St. Patrick's Day. You want cultural misappropriation on St. Patty's Day? Get drunk and you're Irish, okay?
That's it, man. Look, and I don't care. I really, because I am an Irishman. You know what I mean? I'm American.
Yeah.
I come from Irish heritage.
Irish American.
I'm, but I'm of Irish heritage. I mean, tough ass Irish heritage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hard school shit. And
well, I believe there are certain cultural traits that are actually passed on and inherited, because most of the people I know who descend from the Scotch and the Irish all love to drink and fight. Okay.
Well,
yeah, that's why, you know how most ethnic jokes, because they're told to be funny, are insulting to whoever the joke is about, except the Irish. You can tell all kinds of Irish jokes and they're not going to be insulted because they all involve getting drunk and getting in a fight. And they're like, what's wrong with that?
Okay. I don't care. Yeah, our family crest, our family motto, which was adopted back in the 1600s, is Shin Timor, which means without fear, if you look at it, S-I-N-E-T-I-M. And my boys got that tattooed on their arm, the one that's in the military. And, Yeah,
okay.
Without fear. Yeah, they're in hell. They're, hell, I got one of them right now. He's hiking the Appalachian Trail tonight, So it's just
okay.
But here's the thing, Rich. It's like, it doesn't bother me about people making fun of the Irish. It doesn't bother me at all. But the violence and stuff that's going on, against these pro-life, clinics. And orphanages. Now, how could you attack an orphanage? Because that represents, the orphanage is or the area where they do the whatever. I don't think they call them orphanages anymore. They call them something else. Transition.
Wait. Before you go down that road, has anyone attacked an orphanage?
Well, they're called something else now. But, yeah, it's the pro-life
center. No.
Has anyone
– it doesn't mean because I haven't heard it. But, again, I'm not – look, I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard of any violence yet. But, again, I haven't been glued – I've been doing a lot of other stuff. I haven't been glued to the TV. It may be happening. And I expect it. I expect a total meltdown from the left. Okay?
Yeah,
right?
They attack 30.
It doesn't matter what you attack. You attack a church. You attack whatever you hate. That makes you evil.
Oh, God,
that
yeah.
Puts you in the that puts you in the category of that kid that went in and shot all those students.
That's right.
In Uvalde. As Jesus said, I'm here to speak because Father Michael's not here. I have to give the sermon for him. Okay.
Yeah.
To lust after a woman is the same as committing adultery because the sin is in your heart. It's the same sin whether you've acted on it or not. The sin is in
right.
your heart. So if you're hating, if you're so pro-choice that you hate anybody who's pro-life and you act on that, it's the same evil that guy went in and shot those kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Prove me wrong.
Right. No, I agree with
you. You're not
wrong.
Oh, no. Here. I will tell you what it is. Those, if anyone's listening to me, you're going to say you're wrong because they're evil. The pro-life people are evil. You're wrong because the church people are evil. And see, this is what we got back in that discussion about what is your moral compass.
So,
see,
well,
not have a moral compass that's based on some commonality, which throughout history has been religion, okay? And yeah, there's been a lot of evil perpetrated in the name of God and stuff like that. But when you look at all religions, they all deal with man's relationship with God, man's relationship with man, how to live in peace. They almost all deal with how to live in peace.
Well,
people
subvert
those ideas. Go ahead.
Well, let me read this to you. There has been 139 incidents of violence and attacks on Catholic churches across 35 states since May of 2020. Incidents include arson, statues beheaded, limbs cut, smashed,
okay.
attacks, painted gravestones, defaced, swastikas,
right.
an anti-Catholic
yep.
language, American flags burned.
All right.
You know,
you want to know what I'm going to tell you this. You want to know
yeah.
the attack you're not going to – there was one. The
mm-hmm.
attack you're not going to hear on the Catholic Church is a mass shooter.
Yeah.
So what you just described is they're attacking the buildings. They're attacking the artifacts, but they're not attacking the congregation. You want to know why?
No, I don't know why. Are they armed?
They're armed. The Catholic Church has designated shooters. Okay, I'm telling you that. They have them. They have people who are in their congregation, strategically posted near the places where a mass shooter might enter. Okay.
Yeah, well, they all of this is related to, and every one of these since October of 26th of 2021, there's been 100, and it's related to the leak of Roe v. Wade. You know, when that first thing first leaked,
right.
and I think that was back in May, but I mean. You know, and attacks on, let's see, the pro-life clinics.
Right.
Kids go there.
You know, if you named your clinic pro-life, you're just setting yourself up for an attack. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously. I mean, whatever you're doing in there, you could have come up with a much better name than pro-life.
Well, they just call them pro-life, but they call what they're called is like, so they could look like a pro-choice because it says the pregnancy center, you know, and I'm trying to read some of these right here, but they also, you know, these are places that women, single women and stuff go to with kids who, you know, are low income so that their kids can get shots and treatment and get their teeth worked on. I mean, when you burn something like that down, you know, you're you're just a damn terrorist when you do something like that, because you're denying a kid, you know, access to health care. It just, it's really ridiculous, man, some of this stuff.
Wait, James, the left, the pro-choice people are going to say the same exact thing to what you're denying them.
Put yeah, but
the women's lives in danger. I've heard them say that today. You're putting women's lives in danger
by not allowing
them to have abortions.
But we, let's break this down, though. Let's talk about what the Supreme Court did today. So everybody understands, because, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, what the heck's going on, you know? Because some people believed that it was a constitutional right, and I heard people say that, a constitutional right to get an abortion. There is nowhere in our constitutional amendments that mentions the word abortion or control over your body or anything like that, okay? There's nothing that says it. So it would be regulated to the states. That's our U.S. Constitution. And all they
actually, let me point this out. Okay, just because it's not mentioned, the term women is not even mentioned in the Constitution, okay?
Right.
Just because I'm presenting the argument.
Sure.
Just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it's not a right, okay? However, here's the great thing. Justice Thomas is now my hero, okay? And what I liked about the basis of his decision is that it has to be tied to the history of the Constitution. You know, you got to go back and look at the context of the time and things like that. Okay. So, no, abortion was not legal during the time the Constitution was written. Why? Because there was not a law, but a code. There was a code that dealt with infanticide. It's called the Hippocratic Oath. The old Hippocratic Oath that survived for thousands of years. You will not kill babies. But they, once we, well, everybody's pro-abortion, they took that out of the Hippocratic Oath. So if you go back to, you know, the time of the Constitution, the historical context, there was no abortion because the Hippocratic Oath prevented that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you there, Rich? I think I lost you.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
No, I just finished my thought. Right.
Okay. So what I'm looking at is the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, which are our rights, you know, our Bill of Rights. And it specifically says in Article 10 that those things not specified become an issue of the state. So while everybody's blowing up over this, they need to remember you have not lost your right to an abortion. If you want to have an abortion, you know, if somebody's raped you or there's
James, Mississippi or Missouri, if you live in that state, you've just lost your right to an abortion. I think Oklahoma also had a law to ban abortions that was a trigger law. The thing was the Supreme Court did not abolish abortion. What it said is it's not a constitutional right.
Yeah,
the decision goes back to the state.
If you
live in a state that doesn't allow abortion, move to another state that does. Move to California. Move to the West Coast. They really need you out there, okay?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, there is such an exodus. There's such an exodus from the West Coast to Texas. Look, if you're a liberal, you're living in Oklahoma, Texas, or whatever, move to California, okay? They'll probably pay you to kill your baby, okay? Do it.
If
we could just get all the liberals in those liberal states and the conservatives in the conservative states, I think everybody would get along. Because the first thing is, no one's getting along. No one's going to talk. Everybody talks, just nobody listens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's a bad situation. But but you know, it's so it's not like they said they've outlawed abortion. So there are activists that are out there really screaming loud. And so let's talk a little bit about the groups that have now banded together. Pro-choice, Antifa, the United Socialist and Communist Organizations of America. Have you ever heard of those groups?
Yes, no, the Communist Party, they've been around for a long time. No, they've always been, okay? I've actually been friends with campus communists, all right? I've known about them, okay? But, you know, they really lost. The McCarthy hearings was bad because it was a witch hunt, but it really took the wind out of the sails of the American Communist Party, I'll tell you that much, all right? But, hey, it was the American Communist Party that was, you know, why do you think we pulled out of Vietnam, all right? You think the communists were not stirring things up here in America, okay?
Yeah. Well, they were. They absolutely were.
Yep.
And what's bad is that you've got it going on right now, you know, where these these groups are inciting
violence. Those are called fringe groups. You've got your left wing groups, but these are the real fringe. They're small. They've never had a loud voice, but yeah, by banding, they've realized they're losing ground, so they're banding together to speak out. But then, hell, what happened on January the 6th? They're pointing out Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, all these extreme right wing groups, okay, banded together to do what? To launch a coup or an insurrection, all right? Because yesterday and today has been a victory for the conservatives, but everything you're saying about the left can say about the right. In fact, it's the FBI that has said the extreme right is the greatest threat to this country. Well, I understand what they're saying. It's a greatest threat to the government because the extreme right is not going to burn down a neighborhood. They're not going to burn down their neighbors' business and stuff. They got beef with the government. They're attacking the government. You know, they believe that a government that fears the people is democracy. A government where the people fear the government is a dictatorship. Okay, they take that to heart. Whereas the left wants to attack the people.
Yeah, and that's really bad because that's just going to kill their cause. You know what I mean? It's like I'm all for listening.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It didn't kill their cause in the summer of love, did it? In fact, I think your taxpayer dollars is going to help repair some of the damage.
Oh, you're talking about out there out west there. Yeah. But your taxpayer dollars too, old buddy. You know, I mean, ain't nobody escaping.
No, I know. I'm not happy about that. That's right. You know, mayors that allowed that to take place should not be asking for help. Okay?
Just thuggery. So what's the ultimate goal? See, and I look at things differently. I don't think the ultimate goal has a damn thing to do with abortion, pro-life, or pro-choice. I think when you look at groups like I think that there is a movement afoot to alter the Constitution of the United States of America. And these groups, now they see a tie-in to pull everybody together to do it, and people are too dumb to see it, or they know it's happening and they support it. You know, it's like if you're a former president of the United States and you call for people to hit the streets, you know, I got a problem with that. You know, I didn't like
Wait. Are we talking about the January 6th hearing right now?
No, we're talking
Didn't Trump? Wait. Yeah. Didn't Trump? Look, I'm just turning your argument on you. Everything you accuse the left of, the left can accuse the right of. January 6th commission trying to prove that Trump inspired the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and everybody to it's going to be a wild day, is to storm. He never said it, but they're trying to prove that he encouraged them to storm the Capitol and overthrow the government. Okay?
Yeah, maybe he did. I don't know. I mean, you know, time will tell on that. I mean, eventually it's going to come out.
Well, no, the truth will tell, but the January 6th committee is not the truth. It's just taking bits and pieces of the truth and trying to paint a picture. In other words, what you have is a trial taking place where there is no defense counsel, and the defendant isn't allowed to even speak, and so the prosecution can build the case any way they want without cross-examination, without counter-argument.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's the congressional's whipping post. That's what it is. It's just
it is. Okay.
All
right.
So when I think about that, so and I lost my train of thought.
Well,
you're talking about
former president calling people out into the street, calling. And I said they're accusing the January 6th committee is accusing Trump of doing the very same thing.
If he did it, let me tell you, if they can prove that he did it, he needs to be held accountable for it. But
this is not about proof. This is about, you know, they're just trying to convince you he did it, not prove it.
I mean, somebody's got to.
They leave a lot of facts out.
I guarantee you that.
Huh?
I guarantee you, if he said it, somebody's got a recording, because
we know what he said. It's all based on
Hold on a second. Right? Not true, Rich. That's not true, because there are some people that have decided that they're going to turn on him because he turned on them. So it's a vicious world, you know, in that whole world.
No, I know that. I know that. But they do not have any solid evidence. They're trying to build a case.
I guarantee you somebody's got a text or a voicemail or a recording or something. I guarantee it's going to come out.
If it comes up, if I'm not going to tell you it doesn't. I know what they've presented so far, and they have not presented the smoking gun. Okay? The best
there was one guy here recently who was a senator that went to Trump for his endorsement, and Trump wouldn't give it to him. So he said, well, I will go to the January 6th committee. He lost his election, you know, because of it. Now he says he's going to go and testify, and he's going to present the evidence that he has, which is
Hear what he's got to say. Let's hear what he's got to say. Okay.
But I'm saying.
But anyway, we only brought up Trump. Is to show you that the argument you're saying is about ex-presidents calling his people to the street is, well, the left
didn't do that.
The anti-Trumpers, they're presenting the same evidence against Trump. Okay. So
there is no
middle ground on this.
But the difference is, Rich,
What you're not hearing is presidents coming out and saying, you know, people, we need to talk and listen to each other. Bush, George Bush, he would do that. That's his style.
He did that.
Okay? And maybe Jimmy Carter. But we're not hearing from everybody else. When someone's calling and saying, go to the street, that's what Trump did on January the 6th. Now, Trump did not say storm. What I believe Trump was really trying to say is, he wanted them to protest outside. What was the left doing? Go outside their homes and protest. No one's telling the protesters to storm the homes of the justices. It's to protest outside the homes. Okay? Trump wasn't calling for anyone to storm the Capitol. He was wanting them to raise hell. You can interpret his words any way you want, but he didn't tell them to storm the Capitol. He said he stirring them up to go out there, and I really believe all he was wanting them to do is raise hell in front of there, just like the left was trying to intimidate the justices by protesting outside their house. That's what I really believe Trump was trying to do, is get his followers to intimidate Pence and Congress to overturn the election by protesting outside the White House. The lack of the smoking gun is, nowhere has anyone produced any evidence where Trump said storm the Capitol.
Yeah. Well, okay. But here's what you do have. You do have a recording. You see the man
President Obama did tell people to go to the streets, and that was on the news. So, I mean, and that's
well,
the difference.
Well, you know what? We also know Maxine Waters.
Oh,
she actually told people to intimidate people. That is a tactic of the left. I'm disappointed with Obama. You know, I mean, Obama has usually been above this kind of, you know, radicalism, but I'm surprised he did that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going to find that Maxine Waters violent speech. Here it is right here. Okay, y'all ready for it? I'm going to try to play it so y'all can hear it, okay? Because I want you to be able to hear it. There you go. That was Miss Maxine Waters, folks. You heard that, right? So that's an elected
and no
official.
One held her accountable. Nobody
well,
held her accountable. I mean, she was calling on violence.
She called on violence. She encouraged them to be, well, here she is again. She's bad for it everywhere. There you go. So there you go.
All right, James. Really, this is that message coming in garbled. So I know the first one. I think everybody has heard her speech where she was calling on go to their homes, go to the restaurants, harass them. What was the last one? Summarize
it. Could you hear it or not?
It was garbled. Okay.
All of it was garbled. Both of them.
Yeah, actually both of them. But the first one I recognized. I don't recognize this one.
Yeah.
The second one.
Several speeches, you know. She's made violent speeches. And, she openly cusses at people. I mean,
had celebrities talk about bombing the White House, okay? What was it? Madonna? What did she say? Didn't she make a comment about blowing up the White House when Trump won? There's been a lot of it, and no one's been held accountable.
Yeah.
You know, if you get up and give a speech and call on people to commit violence, and violence is – see, that's – okay, if you want to understand the logic behind the January 6th committee is they're trying to – and I hope they succeed in this, okay? It succeed in this part. If you say things, if you advocate your followers to commit acts of violence and they commit acts of violence, you should be held accountable for it. Now, the problem is Trump didn't call on them. There's no evidence he called on them to storm the Capitol. He called on them to raise hell outside of it. Okay? But we know that there's people on the left who have actually called on acts of violence. So if there are acts of violence, I don't care right or left, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the January 6th committee, if you guys really believe that if anybody who says anything that encourages people to commit acts of violence should be held accountable for, start going through your own party, okay? Go to your phone party. Yeah, okay. If you're going to bring charges against Trump, let's bring up Maxine Waters while you're at it, okay?
Yeah, well.
Let's get Madonna, okay? Go down the list. Get all the celebrities.
So, it's never going to happen. And, I mean, there's just so much stuff that goes on. I'm gonna try something and I want to see if we can hear this on another. So I've got another format that I may be able to play directly on this. So I got to go to YouTube first and pull this up because there's a couple things. And here's why I'm doing this. I'm doing this not because I'm trying to bash Maxine Waters, you know.
Yeah, we are. I am. If you're not going to take credit for it, I am.
Well,
I mean
look,
she I listen to her encourage violence. You should know that pisses me off. When I see people going into restaurants to harass political people, that's wrong.
Let's see if we can hear this. Yeah, let's see if we can hear this. I don't know if we can or not.
Right. I'll let you know.
If we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you put back on there. And you tell them they're not welcome.
Could you hear that, Rich?
We could. There's music in the background, but I could definitely hear, and I have bad hearing. I could definitely make out what she was saying.
Yeah. Right? Well, see, and there it is. And she has several speeches like this.
Right.
You know, she's telling people to get. Here's the one where she tells them to get more confrontational. Here's the other one.
California Congresswoman Maxine Waters calling on protesters to get more active and more confrontational. With someone with a law enforcement background, how alarming is that?
Well, it is alarming and it's rather frightening. I try to stay out of the political milieu, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, we don't need anybody out there inciting these.
So she actually has done it multiple times. Multiple
right.
times.
I don't doubt it.
I've heard that one
speech you just presented. I've heard that over and over again, but I haven't heard the others. But I don't put it past her.
Oh, God.
You know, she's
yeah.
pandering to her. She's pandering to her base. They want violence, and she's encouraging. But
yeah.
the point is.
Here's
the
other
point
one.
Point is.
Right. I got it. So listen to this one.
I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that is say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean.
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Congresswoman, what happens if we do not go? Get what you just told. What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happened? What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need it.
So, obviously,
okay, there you go. She did say get more confrontational. Okay.
Yeah, calling
yes,
for violence.
She did. That's
no,
right. And so. So, but unfortunately, there was a guilty verdict, and they didn't take to this. They didn't destroy their town, because the fact is, had they done that, she would be culpable. Okay, according to the logic behind the January 6th committee.
If yeah,
you
absolutely.
Encourage it, and it happens. You're guilty of it.
Yeah, I mean, and
that's
you know,
logic.
It's like, yeah, well, that is absolutely.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's people on both sides. You know, we've seen this here recently. There was a campaign video talking about hunting rhinos and stuff. That's bad. You know, you can't do that. Yeah. You know, I mean, what the hell's wrong with you? You know, I mean, you just can't do stuff like that. And be
That's right.
But, you know,
that's
there's
right.
a level.
But here's the thing. No, I'm going to tell you why it happens, though. I will tell you why it happened. Because you will not get any media coverage if you are not radical. If you
right.
do not say things sensational.
Well,
and the politicians know it.
I'm going to play something else that's sensational. So this is another Georgia congressman, okay? And I don't know what it is.
Oh, by the way, what's a rhino? Just for... For though there's maybe some people out here don't know what a rhino is.
They call them a Republican in name only, but they've got dinos too. They got rhinos and dinos.
I didn't hear dino, but I know about rhino. Okay. In other words, for example, the perfect dino is your senator. Okay,
yeah.
Manchin. Yeah, there's a Democrat who votes like a Republican, okay, on
right.
gun control and on the budget. Yeah, he's a damn Republican. Okay.
So,
let's just discuss it. Hold on. Let's just discuss it.
Right, go ahead.
Why do we even come up with terms like dino and rhinos? Because now you have to vote party line. There was a time that didn't matter. If you remember the party, you voted your conscience. You had your Southern Democrat voted like Republicans because they were conservatives. Their
All
legacy
right.
of the Civil War, Democrat, but, you know, I forgot what a blue dog Democrat. That's what they used to call it, blue dog Democrat.
Right.
But the fact is, you know, now the political system is so rigged that when you get to Congress or the Senate, you have to vote according to the way your party dictates the way you vote. And so... So it doesn't matter what's important. It doesn't matter what you run on. Okay? So, yeah, what you say is a dino or rhino means you're voting your conscience and not following the party line. And where do we get this term party line? Was that something to refer back with communism? Okay? Party line? Or Nazism? Party line? That's where
hey,
we are.
I'm going to tell you, though. Now, in addition to we got Maxine Waters out there calling for violence on the streets, we have
right.
we have another congressman, and his name is Congressman Hank Johnson, and he's from Georgia. Y'all want y'all to listen to this, okay? Listen, enjoy.
This is an island that at its widest level is, 12 miles?
Talking about the island of Guam.
Shore. And at its smallest level, smallest
I remember that one. Oh, my God. What stupidity.
Location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island.
Right.
About 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that. Figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and upside.
We don't anticipate that. The
look, that has nothing to do with violence. That just shows total stupidity. But that's who we're electing to Congress in this
Senate. 25,000 more into the population.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
No, it will sink. It will sink into the ocean. Forget global warming. If an island overpopulates, it will sink into the ocean, okay? So we have to eliminate people.
Rich, this is why that people have got to freaking vote, because I can go pull up Hank.
No, wrong. You said it. You got to do your homework, folks. No, when you elect – whoever elected someone that stupid, you got to do your homework. But no, Woo! Here's the thing. No, you want to know why he got elected? Because he says the things everybody wants to hear. And then you get in a hearing like that and you find out how stupid he is. But the thing is, you're still going to vote him back into office. Look, come on, AOC. Seriously. Has anyone ever posted, anyone from the left ever posted anything brilliant that has come out of her mouth?
Well, let's go here.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, you can sit there like you can make fun of everybody. You can make fun of everybody. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's like, you know, there's an argument against it. But can anyone argue that AOC is smart? I actually heard one. I heard one. But then thing is, they couldn't back it up with anything she's ever said. Seriously. I mean, God, to this, when she opens her mouth, I mean, it's just sheer stupidity. She has no connection with reality.
Yeah.
And they voted her back in the office. She cost her district jobs. Amazon was going to open up a factory there. She drove them away. They moved to Northern Virginia. Okay. And they voted her back in. They voted her in. Okay. Great. Great. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, you remember James Carville, right? James Carville, he's a Democrat.
Yeah, no, I actually, believe it or not, I like James Carville. You know, here's the deal. He's married to a, you know, polar opposite. And it's really wonderful when you listen to him talk.
Yeah.
You know, they're going, and because you get those two going on the talk show. You don't see them together anymore on the talk shows, but, you know, for a while they bring them on. And they had a great debate. They would have a great debate. And one of the Sunday morning talk show hosts asked him, like, how do you two get along? You know, and like, we don't talk politics at home. You bring them on TV, they'll talk it. But when they go home, they drop that stuff and they live together.
Yeah, well, and the thing is that, you know, he talks about, you know, some of this stupidity that's going on. I mean, you know, it's like
he does.
You know, it's like, look, there are. I don't believe that all Democrats are bad. Nobody will tell me that because I'll read and watch and look at this, and I don't think all Republicans.
Well, Manchin, I'm going to tell you, Joe Manchin's not a bad person. Okay.
Well,
like him.
It depends on what part of West Virginia you're in. You know what I mean?
Wait, I'm not even in West Virginia. I'm in Virginia, and I like him, okay?
but, you know, there are, you heard the call for violence. You see the level of ignorance. You know, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that goes on, you know what I mean? And it's
– right.
So we're dealing with, you know, a society that's just blindly voting for party lines. And that's why you have congresswomen out calling for violence on the street. And that's why you got a congressman saying that fucking Guam is going to tip over because too many people are on it. You know, we're not thinking about
long,
it.
He said that a long, long time ago. And that just, you know, look, that, you just brought that up to just show how stupid some of the Congress. And look, you know, they're, if you can talk about Republicans where, like, there was one Republican congressman who said that, you know, because they're talking about rape, having abortion after rape. You should be able to abort the fetus if you're raped. And he's going, but there, you know, that a woman can choose not to get pregnant if she's raped. I mean, the left or the right are both stupid. They don't know the science, okay? So just as you're pointing out the errors of the some of these really stupid liberals there, you know, you can just as easily point to the stupidity that comes out of the mouths of some of the Republicans.
Well, here we can go. We'll play some of those. Here is a I'm glad y'all can hear this. These are called Congressional Hits and Misses, Best of 2019. Let's listen to some of these.
I just draw the attention of the committee to today's roll call. Everybody be quiet. I'm getting some heartening news here, but I'm not getting it until I know your password.
Good afternoon.
People talk about immigration, NACA.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I noticed the smirk on your face. We find it laughable as well.
I doubt if it's going to do much good for me just to hold up a small sheet of paper.
How many of you went to Blockbuster Video last weekend? I like it all. It's all good stuff.
Negotiating with President Trump.
He said that they all said.
It's like negotiating with Jell-O.
I disagree with certain things that they said. I think I'm right, but time will prove that. Time will prove me right, probably.
Look, I think there's a technical description for what's going on, which is that Democrats have gone bat crap crazy.
And when I read the document, my reaction to it was, this is really an interesting draft.
You weren't supposed to do that.
Just another corrupt official. Why would you come to my office?
You can sit there and say, yeah, but this is an uncredible witness because he has been saying one thing just a few months ago. Congresswoman Lowy, Congressman, can you come over and talk to us here for a minute, please?
Wow.
What's the news?
Gentleman yield?
No, if I did, I would already tell you. You already had your time to talk.
Yes, no shade. Love that, Chad.
Well, she blew you a kiss anyway. That was worth something.
Well, I'd rather have the news.
This is, of course, a picture of former President Ronald Reagan naturally firing a machine gun while riding on the back of a dinosaur.
Talking about
my name, I said
I wasn't going to yield to you. You can shut up now.
This is a beloved species of reptile mammal. According to a report a long time ago, and issued far, far away.
Well, I don't think I'll respond to all of that.
They may even be fully recyclable and usable for their warmth.
You got to be kidding.
Not simply by a tornado, Mr. President, but by a tornado with sharks in it. These images.
So, Rich, you know, it's like all of these things have been said on our congressional floor. Unbelievable, outrageous things. And I know some of them are, you know, they're trying to run out the clock or whatever, you know, and it has to do with, I'm trying to think, what is that term called when they just come up and they talk about gibberish? What the heck is that called? I forget the terminology of it. But the point that I make is that there's dumb on all sides, and we have to be more selective in who we're electing. You know, like, so a lot of people are mad right now about Roe v. Wade, about the Second Amendment. You know, I mean, you know, it's you have to vote. You have to get out and vote. Burn down people.
No, James, you're missing the point. They did vote. Those people are in office because they did vote. People got out and voted for them.
Yeah.
You're not saying the right thing. Do your damn homework, okay?
Well, that's true. Yeah,
don't
do your homework.
Don't just, like, vote for the same people you've always voted for. Do some homework on these people. Pay attention to what they say. I'm going to tell you, here's something. All right, so my representative, Elaine Loria, is a Democrat. Now, here, the thing of it is, it's the largest concentration of military bases in the country.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about vets for vets, it doesn't matter which party you're running on. It's a veteran, okay? Okay.
Right.
It was our choice was between a Navy SEAL and a female Navy lieutenant commander, okay? That was our choice, all right? Well, the Democrat won, all right? And one time she broke with Nancy Pelosi, and I'll give her credit for that. But you know what? She does it, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of the other congressional reps do it. But she has a newsletter that everybody out there, find out if you can even name your congressman, woman, senator. Go to their webpage and just click in something and send them a message. I guarantee you're on their mailing list. And I get regular updates on what my my state representative, my congressional rep, U.S. congressional representative is doing. And you can sit there and go on like, you know what, she's pretty – I mean – this may be all fluff and stuff, but she's pretty busy, okay? She's out there doing stuff. And, you know, now her problem is I'm in Williamsburg, and she's from the other side of the river, and she focuses mostly on that side of the river. You know, she doesn't realize that, hey, we're in your congressional district too. So she's mostly about the coastal Virginia stuff. But the thing is, I mean, she's busy, and she definitely is for veteran affairs, okay? But any of my representatives would have been veterans, and they would have been doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I know what she's doing, and I'm going, all right, so there's a number of key votes. She's going to be a rubber stamp for Nancy Pelosi, which is why I'd vote against her. But, you know, on all the other lower issues, she is definitely representing our congressional district, okay?
Yeah.
Do your homework. Yeah. Do your homework, okay? If you're too lazy to actually go do a search, go find your congressional or your state representative, click on their site, and they're probably going to be updating you, and check your spam. Okay, here's the deal. Check your spam, because a lot of times their updates, their newsletters, are going to go directly to your spam. So you find out that, click it, hey, this is not spam, so you get to read it. And you can find out what, you know, and if you got any questions, then you go online and look for it. But if your representative is on the national news calling for violence,
yeah,
and you're voting for her, you're evil, okay? You are evil. If you voted for Trump and Trump is up there calling for, you know, everybody to storm the Capitol, you're evil. But he didn't call for that, okay? Not yet. We don't have any evidence of him doing that. We know he called for him to march on the Capitol because he wanted them to raise hell, but he didn't tell them to storm the Capitol.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I mean, you got to understand that, you know, these people look at some of these political leaders as gods, you know, and it's.
No, they don't. I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to give you that.
I'm telling
no,
you, they
no,
do, man.
No,
they
no. I'm going to translate a different way. They have an agenda, and what their political leadership has done is given them the green light to do what they is to do the violence. They already wanted to do it. They just needed someone in authority to tell them it's okay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine Waters was pandering to her base, because her base was already doing what he was calling them to do. She gave them the green light to do it. Okay?
Yeah, well.
She didn't tell them to do it. They wanted to do it, and she told them it's okay to do it.
Well, let's listen to some of the activists and some of the crazy that's going on in some of these these are pro-abortion rallies. So this isn't stuff we've made up or anything, but this is actual video footage from these events. Got about 3 minutes of it. Check it out, folks.
Now it's time for Lefties Losing It.
Here we go.
And joining me is Director of Policy of
Senator Warren.
Calling for an insurrection there, Deanne. I mean, that's dangerous talk right there.
Well, you know, remember that terrible video Warren
This is how Australia views that.
It's really cringeworthy and not official. Elizabeth Warren, get yourself a beer. Put your feet up. Watch the Kardashians. Relax. You know, I do miss Elizabeth Warren. I mean, the way she flails around like a sort of one of those Muppets, and, you know, it looks like she's perennially witnessing the docking of the Hindenburg. I tell you what, everybody says Hillary Clinton 2024, but we've got to bring back Elizabeth Warren, because Trump versus Warren will be an absolute blockbuster.
Gideon, the crowd watching is cheering that insanity. We're chanting, thank God for abortion. And I've got to say, like the majority of Americans, around 60% of people, I am pro-choice to a point. First trimester is where there is majority support for abortion. But that is vile. That's not going to turn anybody to your side. And it's interesting to me, because this is a far more nuanced debate than the politicians present and the media present. Because, 60% are in favor of abortion and giving women the choice. That's the first trimester. But a strong majority oppose second trimester abortions, and even a bigger majority are dead set against the third trimester. And you don't seem to get that represented in the media coverage at all. It's one extreme or the other. Now, I'm going to bring you this clip of a lefty losing, and possibly the most intelligent comment we've heard from one of these activists. And these ladies made a solid point as well. Oh, goodness me.
That's, I love meltdowns. I love to see the left meltdown.
Well, but the thing is, that's an Australian news station.
Let me point this out, James. All right. I love BBC. Seriously,
yeah.
You are not going to get anything objective from American news. Not one channel. Oh, I'm going to tell you this. No. If you want, all right, the objective news is online, not on TV. The TV news is all partisan. Subscribe. I recommend all listeners subscribe to Axios. Axios News they just hit the fact and they summarize. You don't have a lot of time to read. Subscribe to Axios because what it'll do is I get it every day, and it will give you the news briefs. And, like, see, keep in mind, journalism today is all about fluff. You know, you're sitting there, like, reading through all the, if you're trying to scan, you're like, hey, just tell me what's important. And what Axios has done is taken an article and reduced it down to the facts, and it's, like, three lines long.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you know, you sit there and you read Axios, you already know, you know, you go to the TV. Look, you watch CNN, they talk about telling you the truth. No, they're only telling you bits and pieces of the truth, and the same with Fox. And MSNBC, seriously, they're all exaggeration, okay? And you got to watch both sides to get even close to the truth, and you're still not there, okay? You've got to go online and do your research. So Axios is the most unbiased news source I have read online, okay? Dude, if you have access to BBC or any Australia, here's the thing. They are observing us. Look, keep in mind, the democratic countries have copied us. They are watching us. They are studying us. Look, when Trump got elected, I didn't know that I had lost my freedom of speech, that my freedom of speech was under attack, under the term political correctness, until the English told, and the Australians told us that. They were watching us. They're not involved in this. They're watching us. They understand us. They understand our values. And they're seeing things because we're too close to the – look, when I went to West Point, 75 to 79 – and almost all my instructors were Vietnam vets. And I asked him, I said, why isn't someone teaching this class on the Vietnam War? And they said, because we were too close to it. The war was different depending on when you were there, what year you're there, what unit you're with, and where you were at. And he said, it's going to take one of you who was not there to be able to look at it objectively and be able to teach that class. And I never forgot that. And the thing is, we in America, we're already involved in this. We're either on the left or we're on the right or leaning to the left or the right. You can't be dead center. It's the English and the Australians who are observing us and are more objective about it. So, yes. Listen to what the English and the Australians have to say about American politics and where we're at. They're probably a much closer to the truth than Fox and CNN and MSNBC.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that what we're seeing with all of this, obviously, there's a level of crazy that's going on in this country. But right now, it's really stoked up. And, you know, everybody's emotional. The worst thing anybody can do is open their mouth when they're pissed off. You know what I mean? Because they're going to say something that and they're going to get videotaped. And, you know, it's going to be recorded. I mean, we say stuff on here, it's recorded forever. You know what I mean? You know, that's why we have to think. You know, I mean, we have it's not personal on here, but some of this stuff that's going down, I mean, people literally want to kill each other over this debate right now. They want to kill each other. And I don't think that people that have never killed somebody or never had to deal with that in their life, I don't think they understand what that really means, you know, what that is. And I think that it's just a sad situation that we're in. And, you know, we have a horrible problem with violence in this country. I don't think it has anything to do with a gun. I don't think it has anything to do with a race. I just think it has everything to do with we're just a violent ass culture. And that's what it is. And we've lost our morals and our moral compass is broken. And we've got to figure out a way to get it back on track. But I don't know how to do it, you know, other than.
Wait. James. Facts don't matter when you know you're morally right. That's a quote by AOC. The thing is, you say our moral compass is broken. It's based on what your moral compass is. And you're a Christian. You have a doctorate in that. Okay. But if you know, when you say something like facts don't matter when you know you're morally right, it means what is your moral compass based on?
Mm-hmm.
No, our moral compass isn't broke. It's based on whatever I feel is right. That's where we are in society today. But when you talk about violence, and I have been predicting this for a long time, but nobody talks about it. Are we in a civil war?
I guess if you look at the terminology and what a civil war, you know, we do have civil insurrection. That's for sure. That's going on.
No, are we in a civil war?
It feels
like. Are we at a point in time in our life that the left and the right can no longer come together and agree on anything?
Yeah. They're going to have to. I believe that.
When you look at the only solution to the differences is violence, is that a civil war?
Yes, that is a civil war.
Okay, so when we think of a civil war, we're thinking of the 1861, where everybody's taking up arms. But what we have is the left and the right cannot come together and agree. They don't listen to each other, and they're advocating violence, and they are committing violence. We saw the Summer of Love. Cities were to the ground, okay?
Yeah.
People marched on others' homes, okay? We're in a civil war. Not as bad as 1861 to 65. But this is a civil war, and we have people who are advocating violence in order to achieve their goal. And here's the deal. From the left and the right, it's not about choice. If you're on the left, the thing is, the left is the whole idea of suppressing freedom of speech is they want to live it. They do not want to hear anything the conservatives have to say. They want to live in safe spaces on social media. Look, James, do you have any liberal friends left on social media?
Yes, I have a bunch. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I don't. They've already, because I responded to them. Every time they posted something stupid, I would respond to them. They get offended. I respond to them with facts. All right. I'll tell you one woman, a fellow author, and she's going like, she would ask me, she would like, you're such a nice person. Why do you do this? I said, because what you posted didn't make any sense. It was wrong.
Yeah.
And well, he was just offended. And I said, look, I said, the thing is, you're reposting stuff that resonates with you but has no factual base. I never – and when she accused me of, you know, being on the – I said, look, you will notice I never post anything political. She said, why are you all saying all this stuff? And I said, no, I respond to your posts. I don't post anything. I don't repost anything that is that represents one political voice or another. But if you say, if you post something, and here's the deal. This is the deal because I love, hey, this is the Irish in me. I love an argument. If you post something that is stupid and I respond to it, you better believe I'm going to win this argument. I do not engage in debates unless I know, yeah, I'm going to win this one. I already know. It's like being in a fight, as a martial artist. You already know. When you walk into that ring, that cage or whatever, you got to walk in there knowing you've already won that fight. You've studied and stuff. If you don't, there's a good chance you're going to lose.
Right? I've been fooled before. I mean, every now and then, you know, your intel is wrong. You know what I mean? And
mine wasn't. I have not. I tell you right now, bragging is. But it's the Irish gift, the Irish ability to argue. I have never lost a debate. Okay, no, I will tell you this. No. Okay, because I have a few friends who are reasonable, and what happens is we get to a point where we agree with each other. That's what happens. Okay, so
well,
it's not all right for the ones that melt down or whatever. I always beat them, but for the rational ones, we always come to that point where we agree with each other. Yeah, or we agree to disagree. Okay, we recognize the point. Like there, I'm going to tell you right now. I've never personally met him, but I got in a debate with this one guy on social media, and he's like, hey, because this is heated, very intelligent. He's like, we have to do this offline. We can't do this in public. So we exchanged emails, and we've become very good friends, okay? And it turns out he's a retired PC colonel. Oh, my gosh, the stuff he's done. You know, it's like we'll go offline. You know, we'll sit there and we'll argue over stuff. He sent me to – he'll send me an article, and I'll just reply to it. But we have such respect for each other. Such respect. And the thing is, we have completely opposite views, especially on the Second Amendment. We love both of us. He's Greek. I'm Irish American. We love to argue. The thing is, neither, you know, but we have tremendous respect for each other. And then we'll go off online and talk. He'll tell me one of his, he'll give me a hint about one of his experiences in the Army. And of course, as a historian, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Tell me more about this. Okay. So, and he's done some incredible stuff in his military career. But the thing is, we're on opposite sides. We respect each other because we don't talk. We write each other and we listen to each other. And that is not what is happening today.
Uh-huh.
We are in a civil war. I believe we're in a civil war, predicted for a long time, because everybody's talking and nobody's listening.
Yeah, well, you know, well, it doesn't help when your president says that abortion is a constitutional right. It's not. You know, it's not a constitutional right.
Wait, we're talking about Biden. Has he ever said anything intelligent? No, tell me, come on, tell me something Biden has ever said that made sense.
Well,
just pick one. So when he gets up there, just accept the fact that, I mean, he's a senile old man. Anybody who watches that guy, and this is why Russia invaded Ukraine, because the only country to stand up against him is run by a senile old man who bailed out of Afghanistan. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Hey, look, you look at it. Who was the worst? Who hit in the 20th century? Who did we consider the worst president? Carter. And there's a whole lot of guess, but Russia invaded Afghanistan because of what? Carter. Okay. They read him weak. That's right, because of how he handled Iran. And here it is.
Well,
Ukraine. So we get another guy just like Carter, and Russia invaded Afghanistan during Carter's administration. They invaded Ukraine during Biden's administration because they read him as being weak, old and senile.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So Alyssa Milano, which is she's a well-known activist singer. She just posted this, and I'm reading it from her Twitter site. She says, banning abortion. She just put it out just like this morning, 10 a.m. Banning abortion will disproportionately impact people of color, the LGBTQ+ communities, people struggling to make ends meet, young people and those living in rural areas. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to be down with some of the other things she said. How does it affect the LGBTQ community? How does that affect them? It's a ban on abortion. How does that affect them? Two men can't have sex and have a baby. Two women can't have sex and have a baby. How does banning abortions affect that whole damn community? That's what I want to know. Somebody tell me. I'm dumb. Please tell me.
No. Take that one out. Wait, take that one out. And she's right about the blacks and the poor, okay? If I'm not mistaken, the majority of abortions are by the blacks, okay? And the fact is, the poor, if you're in Oklahoma or Mississippi, and if you can't leave the state to get an abortion, guess what? You got to raise that child.
Yeah. Well. All
right? So she's right about everything but I think the only reason she threw in the LGBTQ, because they're a fringe group that, she needed all the support she could get. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like,
look. If she had known that the Communist Party had a good following, she would have probably said, and banning abortion is going to hurt the communists, because she needed their support too. Guys, it's all pandering.
Absolutely.
That's pandering.
Yeah. You have a celebrity, you know what I mean? And they make these kind of, and it's just like, talking about Guam tipping over and all of this other stupid shit that comes out of people's mouths. You know what I mean? It's like they're making millions and millions of dollars. And it's like, you know, I just don't get it. It's like all of our listeners out there,
wait. Turn those fingers around on us. Are you and I doing anything different than what they are doing?
Yes, we don't.
Are we any better? Are we any better than they are?
Yes, we are.
I'm gonna be honest. How? Tell me. I'm gonna tell you. We're doing the same thing they're doing.
No, we're not. Tell me one damn time you've ever heard me say fucking Guam's gonna tip over. I'm just gonna tell you.
No, the logic is the same, James. I disagree with you a lot. I think there's a lot of people out there who don't like you and listen to the show because they want to hear me contradict you.
Not really.
The point being is that I'm admitting. I began the show admitting I was wrong and you were right.
Well, and you know what? And look, that's only first time that you've admitted it, because most of the time
I've admitted it. I think I admitted it one other time. Okay. All right. I'm going to tell this joke. I remember working for a guy. He said, you know what? He said the only mistake I ever made was thinking I was wrong and turning out I was right. Okay. But anyway, the point being is we're doing the same thing. In all honesty, James, what we're doing in the show is the same thing. The people you're citing, they're dead. Yeah, we're not calling on anyone to do violence.
No,
that's
I'm telling
the difference. None of us. We are not. We may be wrong at times. I've been wrong a couple times, and I admit it. You know, and keep in mind that I brought this up. I want to give you credit. That was a show we did a long time ago after the Uvalde shooting, and I wanted to let you know I was wrong. What I'm hearing lately, you were definitely right. You were probably exaggerating. You were on one of your emotional, tirades, but you turned out to be right, and I was wrong. I tried to be rational. I was trying to be rational, and I was trying to defend the police. And now we find out, no, they really were cowards.
Motion.
45 minutes waiting out there for a key that the door was unlocked. They didn't even try to turn the damn doorknob. Seriously. Okay. I was wrong. But
emotions,
James,
have nothing to do with it.
I'm going to tell you right now, we're not any better than the people we're criticizing. Neither you and I call for violence. That is the one thing that is different. We don't call for violence.
We also don't talk about Guam tipping over. We also don't call for violence. And we also don't say that somehow that pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies, are going to affect the LGBTQ community. I just don't get it.
That's true.
I'm in hell.
Okay. What you're saying is, when you talk about that a lesbian and a homosexual are going to get – a man's going to get pregnant or an island's going to tip over because of the weight, that's just sheer stupidity. Yeah, you may react emotionally but there's a little bit of logic behind – what we say and argue about on this show. What you're citing are examples of pure idiocy.
You know, look, it's called We Do Not Talk Out of Our Asses. We actually try to think about things to say. And it's just like playing these. And look, I'm glad we could play those and we could hear those, because I'm going to have a lot of fun with that as this thing escalates, because – believe me, I've got videos and videos and videos of all of these dumb things that are said. But it's not just the dumb thing.
No, James. All right. Huh? The thing is, I'm going to tell you.
It's about education,
Listening to the video is not the same as watching it. So just tell your listening audience, the 130,000 people that listen to us right now, what do they need to type in YouTube to go and watch those videos? What do they got to – because you type them up real fast.
Well, you could just type in Maxine Waters, violent speech, or you could type in, stupid comments by congressmen, or you could type in Guam is not going to tip over.
Oh, my God. Look. The reason I say that because I spend all my time typing in martial arts stuff. Okay, I'm always watching martial arts videos.
Hey, I want you to type this one in. I want you to type in how President Trump got his own parade float.
No. I know that one. I know you always shared that with me, and you always laugh. All right, that's stupid. I know that float of the dick being pushed into his mouth. Okay, all right. Anybody else who hasn't watched it, go ahead and watch it. I've already seen it. James has sent it to me so many times. I'm tired of watching it.
But you know what, though? It's like – look, it's funny, but it's like, here, the reason why I shared that and talked to people about it, this is the, how much money did they spend on that damn float, you know?
Right.
And
right.
These same people are the ones that are preaching about feed the hungry, feed the poor. How many damn poor people could you have fed with all the paper mache? I mean, that dick was 3 foot long, man. I mean,
Hey, look, we talk about elections. When you hear how much congressmen and senators spend or president spend on an election, you're going, holy shit, that could fix our economy. You know, you're promising people to solve their problems that you're not going to solve, and the amount of money you spend on your election to not do that, that money could have solved that problem. Yeah.
Seriously. Send me $28,000. I need a new roof on my house. If anybody wants to help out this poor old disabled veteran.
There you go.
Don't waste
it. What was historically the first promise, the first campaign promise for individual prosperity that didn't turn out? Do you remember what it was?
Was it 40 acres and a mule or a chicken?
There you go.
Okay. 40 acres
and a mule. There you go.
Yeah.
And
yep.
It has not changed. Did all those former slaves get their 40 acres and a mule?
No. No. Hell no. I mean, they got a hard time.
Has any of these congressmen been delivering this then? No, they've all been promising you 40 acres and a mule. And the amount of money you have given them to donate to their campaign to get elected, if they had turned that over to you, you would have your 40 acres and a mule.
I would, and I would take it if they'd give it to me. You know what I mean? Because 40 acres and a mule.
Wait. So we're coming up with a whole new idea about how, see, you can't get elected to office without money. And what is that money needed for? It's needed for campaign ads. It's needed for all those damn signs that people put in their yards. Getting elected to office, you can't get elected to office if you don't have money.
Do you know?
What we're saying is the amount of money that is involved in politics, getting elected, if the politicians instead, just think about this, all you listeners out there, if the amount of, you look at how much money is donated to their campaigns, and if they instead, all those promises they're telling you they want to fix, if they took that campaign money and fixed your problem, they could.
They could fix a lot of problems.
Instead, they're going to invest that money into advertisement signs and all this stuff and get up to Washington or whatever, your state, and not deliver because the party told them how they're going to vote.
Well, that's why.
So I'm
going
to tell you guys. No, listen to me. This is a challenge. There's all these challenges out there. There are all these challenges out there. So I challenge politicians to take all that campaign money and deliver on your promises. Instead of doing advertisements promising you're going to do this, do it. If you're going to fix the problem, take that money. Instead of paying for an advertisement, do it. Fix that problem. Whatever you promise to do, can invest that money in that problem.
See, and I'm going to tell
you, man. That's a revolutionary. Go ahead. That's an entirely revolutionary way of looking at politics.
Well,
but right now, it's who can out-advertise the other. And we all know the advertisement is not about how you're going to solve the problem, but how the person you run against, how evil they are.
Rich.
How they will not represent you. And the fact is, neither one of you are representing your constituents, promising to. But when you get into Congress, you're going to sell out. When you get into the Senate, you will sell out.
Some.
You will sell out to the party, unless you're an independent.
Well, I don't even think
you don't have a party.
Well, I don't even think it has anything to do with that. You've got to have morals and you've got to have integrity. And
no,
you know,
James, they all believe they have morals. AOC believes she has morals.
No, there's
when
a different
said,
kind of
no,
morality.
No, when she said facts don't matter when you know you're morally right,
well,
she
you
has
knew,
morals.
Yeah, but they knew what they were getting whenever they voted for her. You know what I mean? Because she said a lot of stupid
That's
shit.
Right. Then they reelected her, too.
Well, they will. She'll probably be in there. She'll be as old as Nancy Pelosi before she gets out.
You want to know why? You want to know why? Because she controls the media. Because she says such stupid stuff. You know, Maxine Waters says outrageous stuff. But AOC says such stupid stuff. She dominates the news. She dominates social media.
I'll tell you what.
And she will continue to get reelected because of that.
I couldn't imagine waking up next to either one of them ladies. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Y'all say what you want.
I think AOC is cute. I will tell you this. All right.
Yeah.
She's all right. Nah. All right. Okay. This is wrong of me to say this because she was probably a good bartender. She was probably a good bartender, okay? I'll give her that. And she can probably fix up a good Manhattan, okay? All right. That is very condescending of me, okay? I should be saying that, but the
I'm
one thing she's probably good at is
hook.
Mixing I'm
gonna
drinks.
Give you the hook, baby. I'm going to give you the hook. I'm going to save you.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I've got to get up in the morning too anyways. I'm back into my detective. Man, you know, I went out today and I hit it hard. I found probably 16 coins today. I mean, just bam, bam, bam. All a bunch of
What's the oldest coin you picked, you found? Hey, I'm impressed with the quality of the Ohio button you found. That was a nice find, okay?
That button.
But anyway,
button.
What's the oldest? You're always posting pictures of the coins you're finding. Tell me what was the oldest coin you found?
1782, and it was a Spanish real. Mm-hmm. So I have
Holy crap.
Yeah, several of them. Several of them, yeah. They're all over the place.
God damn. Wait, have you ever found anything that old before?
Yeah, I found some old stuff. I mean, I have found some 1700s. Now, that was the most valuable.
All right, let me point this out. Okay, as the historian,
mm-hmm.
and I only know this because I've been friends with metal detectorists here in Virginia on the peninsula, colonial times, we did not have a currency.
Nope.
So that's why there's all these Spanish coins in America.
Oh,
silver was silver, okay?
Really?
It didn't matter whether it was Spanish silver, English silver, whatever. Silver was silver. So when you're finding those coins, so I'm going, what year was that one, that Spanish coin?
1782. It was.
I'm trying to think, like, was there anybody in that part of West Virginia in 1782?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, you know, we had in Point Pleasant, you had 1774, you had the Battle of Point Pleasant. That was actually the last of the battles of the Lord Dunmore's War. But you know, I've had friends.
Hold it. That's Virginians going after the Indians in that area. That's an expedition. That's not a settlement.
No, we had a settlement. It was at Point Pleasant. Settlement.
All right.
Yeah.
So that coin right there could be a link to one of the earliest settlements in West Virginia.
So what I will tell you is that I find a lot of old stuff. But the most valuable point I have found is a Seated Liberty half dollar, and it looked like it had just come out of the mint. And I had it looked at, and the guy said he'd give me $1,100 for it on the spot if I would give him $1,100. Yeah. So, but when I went home and looked at it.
And you're probably not going to sell it because you're like all other metal detectorists. Why? Okay, so here's a plug for digging history. So why do you like metal detecting? What do you get out of it?
Well, it's the thrill of the hunt, and it's very therapeutic for me. I don't have to be around people. You know, I have to work with people all the time. I'm just going to tell everybody this.
That's right. You're out in the nature by yourself, okay?
Yeah.
The problem is, if you're out, all right, I went metal detecting with James one time, and my face swelled up so much from the damn poison ivy I encountered.
That was bad.
All right, that was really bad. Seriously, I tried to wash it off and stuff like that. By the time I drove home, my face and eyes were swollen.
Rich, next time we do that, we're going to do that in the fall. You know what I mean? We're going to.
All right. Point being is, walking around, when you say therapeutic, walking around in the woods, walking up and down the hills, it is therapeutic, okay? But there's a reward at the end. Why do people, there's so many people out there metal detecting. Why?
There's a lot of people metal detecting beaches and area, but there's not very many going into these old battlefields and settlements and stuff.
No. Where I live, they are. I've been friends with a number of metal detectors here in the Virginia Peninsula because we are at the earliest settlement of America.
We're getting ready to lose 90 seconds left here. So let me just say this. So I'm actually talking with a guy, John, over in the UK. So I'm actually going to plan a trip to go to the UK and dig with him. That's going to happen probably more sooner than later because of the COVID restrictions have been lifted. But metal detecting's been really good for me and for you. We'll have to get out. I need to get back to your area, but I'm not going to do it. We need to do it in the winter and the fall. That's a better time to do it. But I went out today and hit some parks and found a bunch of coins. It was pretty good. So, listeners, thanks for joining us on Continue Mission. You know, we had a good time tonight. We talked about some topics. We didn't really get into a lot of the racial discrimination and things like that. But, you know, it's easy to tell you that, you know, anybody that's discriminated against, regardless of their color, racism exists on all sides. Be nice to each other. Get out and talk to each other. Don't promote violence. For the love of God, please know that Guam will not tip over. God bless you, folks. Have a good evening and have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to us on Continue Mission. Rich, good night, buddy. Have a